Ja, es ist einfach
yes,
nur Gnade,
it is just grace which was bestowed upon us.
Dass wir erlöst sind,
that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Und unser Sehnen
and our longing
ist nach dem,
is
der uns so geliebt hat,
to him who loved us so much, who purchased us with his precious blood.
Unsere Herzen sollten übergehen,
our hearts should overflow
Wir wollen jetzt
of thanksgiving. We want to stand up now and read a couple of verses from this Psalm 103. Psalm 103, the first three verses. Psalm 103, 1-5. Then Brother Borg will pray with us.
Lobe dem Herrn,
bless the Lord, O my soul,
und all mein
and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Lobe den Herrn,
bless the Lord, O my soul,
und vergiss
and forget
nicht,
not all his benefits,
der dir alle
who
deine
forgiveth
Schuld
all thine iniquities,
und alle deine
and who healeth all thy diseases,
der dein Leben
who redeemeth thy life from destruction,
der dich
who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies,
der dein Alter
who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
Let us pray together now. Blessed Heavenly Father, through thy word you have called to us that we should praise and bless your name and that we should not forget what you have done great things for us. Heavenly Father, tonight we are here in your presence. We ask you, come by your Holy Spirit into our midst. Speak through thy holy word. We believe that by faith we honor you and you can reveal yourself and manifest yourself. Give us grace. Give grace to bring your word to your people. Give grace to hear, to believe, and to understand. We thank you with all our hearts. Be in our midst. Help each one of us. Make an end to all sickness, to all problems, which is probably in our midst tonight. Manifest thyself through thy Holy Spirit. This is our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Singen wir gleich Glauben,
let us sing Glauben, Only Believe. I love him. I love him.
singen wir es gemeinsam in Englisch. Ja.
Thou art worthy. And we say all amen. You may be seated. We have really the great privilege to be gathered in the name of the Lord to hear His precious and holy word, to believe it, to get it revealed and to do accordingly. We were already welcomed. Today we have visit from Finland, from the Czech Republic, from Poland, from Slovakia, from Romania, from Greece, from Austria, Switzerland, Italy, France, Belgium, England, Chile, and whomever I forgot, he can stand up now. India, of course. Sure.
Would you stand, Brother Mashi? Unser Bruder aus India.
Our brother from India, Janil Mashi.
Have a look at the congregation. Yes, amen. Unser geliebter Bruder aus dem Norden Indiens.
From the north of India. From the well-known Punjab. That's the province. Then, we have many greetings. Just many greetings from Pakistan, from Madagascar, from Benin, greetings from Brother Wallström, from Montreal, from the Ural, from Moscow, Moldavia, Ukraine, Bielorussia, Kenya, Uganda, and from the Congo. Then I added from Denver, Colorado, USA, from Nepal, from Cambodia, then also from India, also greetings, and then from Italy, greetings. Brother Davi is sending greetings. Brother Etienne Genton is sending greetings. Then we have greetings from Johannesburg. Greetings from Lyon. Greetings from Kinshasa. I probably have said it already. Then from Australia, New Zealand. And then, also from Montreal, Canada, and And also from this place we are greeting all our brethren and all our sisters. I just see now, from Nairobi, from Cuba,
werden wir ganz herzlich gegrüßt überall.
Everywhere we have brothers and sisters who are joined in the Lord with us, in the Lord. Then today we have the great privilege, and I'm happy that Brother Didier is also in our midst. Brother Didier, would you please stand up? Where is Brother Didier? Together with Brother Didier, I was in Port-au-Prince. Yes, it's the capital of Haiti. And as we have it here in this report, you just have to take with you. And I tell you also why. Because here, we are announcing the meeting in Berlin on the Pentecost Sunday, God willing, when we return from Israel. Then once in a year, we want to be in Berlin. Calling the brothers from Germany together to Berlin. We're just inviting all who can make it, please come with. Then we have here two photographs from Haiti. And listen now closely. The city and the country was very much affected. More than 200,000 dead. I don't know the exact number now. But from my way, from the airport to the house of the Lord, right and left, there were a few houses which were destroyed, which collapsed. Of course, they were also not built very properly. But when we came to the house of God, really, not a single crack. And right behind it was just rubbles and ruins. Everything was flat, and the house of God had not one single crack. Brother Didier, is it the truth? Amen. This is the truth. And you can see here that building. Before that, I preached it two times, and now the third time. Just so nice that one can see things like that. As we have written it here, I have it here in French before me. Exodus 12, verse 13. That to the people of God no harm would be done. Haiti has the most of the believers in the Caribbean Sea who accepted and received the word of the hour. Altogether, more than 6,000 who are baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 20 assemblies scattered all over the country. Then we have 300 families which were affected. And to these 300 families, we could help already with about 15,000 euros. And God willing, if necessary, we will continue to help. We are just so grateful to God, also for our brothers in the French language, who are carrying the word of the Lord, who carry it, and who give it out in this very serious and last time. So let us thank the Lord, our God, who has held his hands over the earthquake. And I say it once again, if one has become an eyewitness that not one single crack is in the building, and just a little bit further, just rubble and ruins, then gratefulness comes up into our hearts. Brother Didier, please stand up once again so that all can see you, so that all know that both of us, we were there and we have witnessed it. And most surely you have taken with you more greetings from all brothers and sisters there from Haiti. On our way there, together with Brother Didier, we had also two meetings in Martinique. This was a very little island with about 400,000 inhabitants. And there we had the opportunity to speak also on the TV for 1 hour. And then it went on. Our brother André from Montreal, he was my interpreter, and also he is sending greetings to all of you. We are just looking back to wonderful days which the Lord has given us. Then, of course, it went on via the islands up to Miami, and then to Lima, Peru. Also there, we had blessed days and meetings. Also 2 full hours on the TV, so that we could share the word of the Lord there. And we are just so very grateful for everything what God is doing right now, for all the open doors and open hearts who are receiving the word. In connection with the earthquake, I want to emphasize also our brethren in Chile. They were unharmed. Not one was hurt. Neither the houses. Of course, the roads here and there are broken down, and there's a lot of damage, especially in Asunción or whatever. Pardon? Concepción. Yes, there, of course, is much damage. But as far as we were reported, not so, Brother Graf, as far, Brother Helmut Miskis, as far as we know, to our brethren, nothing happened at all. I hope that not many are hearing this now, but we have visitors from South America, and we would like to greet you in a very special way. We don't mention names here, and we don't ask you to stand up. Just feel at home in our midst. The word from Luke 21, in connection with this, I wanted to read still. Luke 21, verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Not only earthquakes, but strong, great earthquakes. And the scientists, they are waiting for the earthquake at the west coast of the USA. And there, Brother Branham, really, he said it very clearly that the West Coast, before the return of Jesus Christ, it will break off and it will sink down on the ocean. We are not waiting for it, but it will happen. Whether we wait for it, we are not waiting for earthquakes or famines or wars. Everything is just happening as it was predicted in Bible prophecy. Now, today it's a special day for me. I just want to take your time today, and I want to refer to the last 48 years, just looking back briefly now. But before I do this now, I would like to ask our two sisters that they sing us the song. Sometime this text was given to me in view of the difficult way which men of God have to sometimes walk. Are the two sisters here? Then may they come now and sing this text. I hope that they will manage it. I just want to say briefly, may all the ministering brethren feel at home, Brother Müller, Brother Daniel, Brother Graf, Brother Maschi, all ministering brethren, Brother Didier, all ministering brethren, just feel at home. No one is overlooked. Feel at home from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Where's Brother John? Where are all the brothers? Feel at home in our midst. And God bless us.
Gottes Wege mir seltsam rätselhaft und schwer und gehen die Wünsche, die ich hege, still unter in der Sorge mehr. Wie traurig schwer der Tag verrinnen, der mir nur Schmerz und Qual gebracht. Dann will ich mich auf eins besinnen, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht. Wie traurig schwer der Tag verrinnen, der mir nur Schmerz und Qual gebracht. Dann will ich mich auf eins besinnen, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht. Wenn mir zu hoch des Herrn Gedanken, zu tief der Brunnen seiner Huld, wenn alle Stützen haltlos wanken, die Kraft mir fehlt und die Geduld, wenn gar mein Blick kein Ziel mehr findet, bei banger Tränen reich erwacht. Ein Glaubensfünklein, der noch kündet, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht. Wenn gar mein Blick kein Ziel mehr findet, bei banger Tränen reich erwacht. Ein Glaubensfünklein, der noch kündet, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht. Wenn über ungelöste Fragen mein Herz verzweiflungsvoll erbebt, an Gottes Liebe will verzagen, weil sich der Unverstand erhebt. Dann darf ich all mein wildes Sehnen in Gottes Hände legen sacht und dieses Sprechen unter Tränen, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht. Dann darf ich all mein müdes Sehnen in Gottes Hände legen sacht und dieses Sprechen unter Tränen, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht. Drum still mein Herz und lass vergehen, was irdisch und vergänglich heißt. Im Lichte droben wirst du sehen, das Gut, die Wege, die er weist. Und müsstest du dein Liebstes missen, ja, gingst durch kalte, finstre Nacht. Halt fest an diesem sel'gen Wissen, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht. Und müsstest du dein Liebstes missen, ja, gingst durch kalte, finstre Nacht. Halt fest an diesem sel'gen Wissen, dass Gott nie einen Fehler macht.
Danke vielmals.
Thank you.
Danke vielmals.
Thank you very much.
Es gibt in der Tat,
there are really days in our lives which are having a meaning which goes beyond everything usual. There are days in the nations, days in the world which have a special, some special, who have a special meaning somehow. And if we look into the plan of salvation, then there were also special days, days on which something happened, which goes beyond time, which is connected with eternity, with a, in a direct way, for a direct purpose. We are thinking on the calling of Abraham. We are remembering to what Moses experienced with God, on all the prophets who knew God personally, who received some kind of commission and who carried it out. We are thinking also especially to what God has done in our time. And here I've written down some dates. The 11th of June, 1933, a special day in the plan of salvation, when Brother Branham was thrown out of the Baptist Church and who held then his first evangelistic campaign, and he baptized a couple of hundred of people in the Ohio River. Something extraordinary happened there. You all know it. And whoever doesn't know it yet, he shall hear it today. When he was about to baptize the 17th person, the supernatural light came down, and Brother Branham says time and again, the same light, the same pillar of fire in which the Lord appeared to Moses and was leading the people of Israel It came down. And from this light, the Lord spoke, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And I personally, in April 1966, in the Branham Tabernacle in Jeffersonville, Indiana, USA, I met at least 10 or 12 brothers and sisters. I've seen them who were present
in 1933.
Who witnessed, who saw everything. Billy Paul, the son of Brother Branham, he was asking whether there are witnesses, and they should please stand up, and they stood up, and we have seen them. And if you then also look to a special day, the 7th of May, 1946, when the angel of the Lord, at around 23 hours at night, he came to Brother Branham. The room was illuminated with a heavenly light, and the angel of the Lord descends in this light, and Brother Branham hears his steps, he sees him coming towards him. And he says, don't fear, I am sent from the presence of God to you to give you the commission. And in all the details, he said, what would happen in his ministry? And he said, as Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs. And to you is given a gift of divine healing, and you will pray for kings, and the Lord God will be with you. And shortly afterward, the phone call came from King George from London that Brother Branham should pray for him. And on the way to Finland, Brother Branham made then a stopover in London and he prayed for King George. Everything what God said, also the two signs, were fulfilled. And not only thousands, but hundreds of thousands became witnesses of this. The best witnesses were Brother and Sister Gordon Lindsay. She was born in Germany with the name of Schimpf. And Gordon Lindsay, who wrote the book William Branham, a man sent from God. And this book really was translated into many languages. And by this, the ministry of Brother Branham actually became known. But let us come now just to the other great experiences, events, namely to that what happened on the 20th of January in Houston, Texas, in the year 1950. 8,000 people were gathered. A great discussion was going on before Brother Branham stepped upon the platform. And then it happened that he said, I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to bear witness of myself. The Lord who sent me, he will bear witness for me. We all know this testimony. We all know what Dr. George J. Lacey wrote on the 29th of January, what he confirmed, that there was no double explosion, but rather that the light was there. Otherwise, the camera lens could not have taken it. So, he has given the confirmation. God Himself bear witness that the commission was not just in words, which a man sometime invented. No, there was a direct heavenly commission in connection with a plan of salvation in our time. Then we have the 28th of February 1963. As Brother Branham saw it in a vision on the 22nd of December 62, namely that the supernatural light, the supernatural cloud in which were seven angels in it, they appeared on Sunset Mountain, and behold, the photographs were taken. I've shown you the magazines. It's written in the Science magazine. It's written, of course, and even from Dr. James MacDonald, the whole report was written there of what happened there. Everything written in detail, that the cloud was 26 kilometers high above the earth. Everything was written in detail. And then Brother Branham comes with a testimony that he was told, return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come. So it was a special day. And then came the special days from the 17th up to the 24th of March 1963. And there Brother Branham says, on every afternoon at around 14 hours, the supernatural light came into the room, and the seal about which he was to speak on the evening was revealed to him. I just mention these things for one single purpose. This distinguishes us from all who are in Christianity in various denominations, namely that we believe that what God promised for this time, what He ordained for this time, and that we can have part in it by His grace. Now just a short report, the short part, which was given to me from God. 11th of June 1958, when Brother Branham, after our conversation, at the end he said, Brother Frank, you will return with this message to Germany. I was emigrated to Canada. We were part of the 13 million refugees who lost all their houses and in Germany. And our first daughter, Roswitha, she was born on the 13th of August 1956 in Canada. She was born. I drove the best car which one could drive, a nice blue Ford with a white roof. I was at home. I was living like a king in, who knows? And then came this 11th of June, 1958. And Brother Branham says, you will return with this message to Germany. This was the greatest sacrifice which I made in my life in the natural. But God just led it in such a way. This commission I could have never carried out there overseas. I had to come back to carry out this commission which the Lord has given to me. Yeah, and then came, of course, the 2nd of April 1962. I think I have to say here, the most precious day, which is connected with the plan of salvation, which the Lord has given to me. And also this, let it be said once here, also for you, all you who don't know the story of us and also the story of Germany. But 1961, it was a special year. Cuba crisis, Berlin crisis. In August 1961, the Russian and American tanks at the Brandenburg Gate, they were standing opposite each other, and no man on earth knew what would happen in the next moment. And at that time was John F. Kennedy president, and he said, I will make an example of Berlin. And we just thank God that really nothing happened. But all of us, we didn't know what can happen now, what would happen. And then came, of course, the 2nd of April. Store in food, for a great famine is coming. Shall I say it once again? We stored in natural food, potatoes, flour, and all what needs to life. And nothing came. No catastrophe. No famine. But I said to the Lord, I cannot live anymore. I cannot preach anymore. It's impossible. You have said a great famine is coming. And it didn't come. And then came a brother from Hilton. All know this nice city of Hilden. A brother, his name was Helmut Paschke, and he brought to me 1,200 Dutch guldes. Yes, it was quite a good currency at that time. And when I came back, I knew in my heart, go to the travel agency and ask whether it is enough to book a flight to the USA. And behold, it happened. And it was exactly that amount which was needed to travel to the USA. And then came, of course, the 3rd of December, and the precious conversation together with Brother Branham, who told me, you misunderstood it. You were thinking a natural famine is coming, and you stored in natural food. God will send a hunger to hear His word. And the food which you should store in, which you shall store in, is the promised word for this time. And then the short explanations, and right at the end he said, wait with the giving out of the food until you got the rest of it. I just say these things briefly, and I just hope that you are not bored. For me, such days, such experiences they have, of course, a supernatural, a remaining value. These are milestones on the way together with the Lord. Yes? And then came the 24th of December, 1965. And also this, I say, if you like, judge it. It's up to you. But I, at around 23 hours, between 23 and 24 hours, on the 24th of December, 1965, I've seen Brother Branham in a suit like this. I saw him going up on a cloud. And I said in this vision, I said, Brother Branham, you are, of course, not the Son of Man. Why do I see you on that cloud? And I didn't know that it was the exact time in which he was taken from time into eternity. Yeah, and then came, of course, the 10th and 11th of April, 1966, the funeral of the man of God. Also this, I've said here a couple of times, but it belongs here. Never in my life I wept so much as on that day, on the 11th of April, 1966. I couldn't understand that God takes away a man of God with such a ministry. And I was asking the Lord in prayer, I asked, how shall the bride church be completed, perfected without this ministry? Lord, tell me how. You cannot imagine what went on within me. For me, a whole world broke down. Yes. And then came the evening. The evening, 11th of April, 1966. Now your time has come to give out the food and to go from city to city to preach the word. You all know, I was very lucky in life. Since my coming back up to 1966, I was working for the German government. I had a very good job in the NATO, in the army. I knew generals, I knew people with four stars on the shoulder. And when I came back, do you know what was my first act? I handed in my resignation. The first thing what I did after my return in April 1966 was to hand in my resignation. And I started to carry the message. Also this happened by faith. I didn't argue with me or with God. I just did it because I had to do it. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. And when I look back today to all these years, how God has led, how He opened doors, one could really speak about it hours for hours. I just mentioned these things to tell you that for me, the 2nd of April 1962 has not only a private meaning, not only a personal experience with God, but that it is a continuation of what God has given to us by the ministry of Brother Brenner. I don't have my own doctrine. I don't have my own message. And Brother Branham brought us back to the Word, back to Jesus Christ, to the full gospel, to all biblical teachings. He brought us back. And this is the restoration in which we believe, which God is doing before the return of Jesus Christ takes place. Now, beloved, just a couple of scriptures now, in view to this day, or to yesterday, to Good Friday. We are living, of course, in a country where the Good Friday is a public holiday. Since the Reformation, it is a public holiday. One just understood what happened on the cross of Calvary. And why it was done by God in such a way. And we all remember, as we heard in the songs, of what happened on the cross of Calvary. Also, because we have the Lord's Supper tonight, let me to this read a few places from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, here we have verse 19 to 22, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. When Paul writes in Acts 20 that he has preached the whole counsel of God, it was God's counsel. That in him should all fullness dwell, and to reconcile by him all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile, having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. Verse 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. A perfect, a full redemption God has given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us read with joy verse 22 again. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. At that time when we were not even here, by his death he reconciled us. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This happened, of course, not through you. Through him, through his blood, through his blood, a perfect forgiveness, reconciliation, And if our sins would be red as blood, it shall become white as snow. And it has become snow white. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, here we have that what Peter said in his first sermon, Acts 2, from verse 23 and 24. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by lawless hands have crucified and slain. It happened for you. It happened for me. Regardless, that's how it had to be. Verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Blessed and praised be our Lord. He, of course, didn't only die. He went down to hell. He has taken captivity captive. He conquered death, hell, Satan. He conquered. And he rose. And he said, I live, and ye shall live also. And the Lord, as the risen one, he appeared, of course, to his disciples. He appeared to them 40 days, and he spoke with them about the kingdom of God. And as I've said many times, our chastisement was laid upon him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. In Romans chapter 4, one could read chapter after chapter, verse after verse. So mighty are the statements. In view to the kernel of the plan of salvation, what is given to us and reported to us in the Word of God and left to us. Romans chapter 4. And here we read verse 25. Romans 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. It happened. It is finished. As written in John 19, a full redemption. Please accept, receive what God has given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. By his grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle sets forth and writes in verse 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything happened according to the Holy Scripture, according to what was foretold. Ephesians chapter 1, we have that what Paul testifies of. Ephesians verse 7, then also verse 9. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. And whatever he purposed before the foundation of the world, this he also carries out. And we, in this time, we may see it by his grace. Let us read also a couple of places, and then we go over to the Lord's Supper. In Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, a scripture which we read many times, we pondered upon it many times, may it become true by his grace in all of us. Galatians chapter 2. From verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Dead. That I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Also this, dear brothers and sisters, we may receive by faith, not the I anymore, but that what God wants, this will and must happen in our lives by his grace. And then, in verse 20, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Can we say all this? So, now I live no more. Who then? If you are not living anymore, who lives then? Who? Let us read it once again. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He lives his life through us, and the divine mind and the divine nature are manifested. Let us not be discouraged. We have confidence that God will make all things well. And if it is not yet like this, tonight it can be like this. Tonight God can do great things in all of us by the power of his blood, of his word, and of his spirit. But let us read it by faith once again with all our hearts. Let us read. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me, who gave himself for me, so that I can surrender unto him, so that he can live his life through us. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Many scriptures could be read which refer to what happened for us on the cross of Calvary. A gift of the Almighty God, but it has to be received and accepted. By grace, it has to be experienced. For all the newcomers who did not yet experience the grace of God yet in such a personal way, let me read from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. A promise which God has given in the Old Testament. It became true through what happened on the cross of Calvary. Verse 19 is requiring obedience from us. If ye be willing and obedient, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And then comes the refusing and the rebellion of those who don't believe. Verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Shall we read the prayer of David, his prayer of repentance, Psalm 51. Here the man of God from verse 7, he confessed the following, Psalm 51 from verse 7, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And then comes the prayer. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was dipped into the blood and sprinkled upon the altar. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Through Calvary, this has become possible. As we would have never sinned That's how God sees us in His sight. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. A prayer of a man who recognized his sin, who repents, and who cries to the Lord. Now, verse 12. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Blessed are they who are of a pure heart, for they shall see God. God has worked it through Calvary, through the blood of the Lamb. It has become true that God has given us a new, pure heart by His grace. The second part from verse 10, and renew a right spirit within me. And then, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Yes. And then comes a verse which has a tremendous meaning. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. If David would have lived in our time, then they would have told him, you may not preach anymore. You may not sing any psalms anymore. And now he says, then will I teach transgressors, that those who did what I did, I will teach them thy ways. This one has to imagine. Nobody came and said, David, you may not preach anymore. You may not sing psalms anymore. No! Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He, of course, converted. He experienced the grace of God. Now he wanted that also all the others convert. Before we read John 13 and also the word for the Lord's Supper, let me today exceptionally read the Lord's Prayer. From Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6, from verse
9.
After this manner, just for your orientation, I say in verse 6 it says, perhaps we shall read verse 6 so that all know that this prayer actually belongs into the closet and not as some kind of pious act. In Matthew 6, in verse 6 it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, who is in secret, and thy Father, who seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. From verse 9, shall we stand up for it? And shall we read it together? And shall we take it to heart? Matthew 6, from verse
9.
After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Is this you and my wish, my and your prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us that we don't fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. This doesn't belong here. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You can take your seats. Here we have the main thoughts. When we take the Lord's Supper, then we remember to that what happened on the cross of Calvary. Even there, our Lord cried out, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Forgiveness is the most important thing in a life of a believer. Not accusing, not accounting anything, not imputing. And if it still happened, just forgiving as God has forgiven us in Christ. Not imputing anything, not thinking on anything anymore. Here I have a piece of paper to say something about the foot washing. And here I just want to read something from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, just reading a few verses, especially because in many churches, in many assemblies, the foot washing is done before the Lord's Supper. And this is not biblical. It is biblical to do it after the supper. After the supper. John 13. We could read from verse 1. I just read from verse 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. We all know the whole text here, as it is written here. And then in verse 14, or from verse 14, we read John 13, verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet,
so seid auch ihr verpflichtet.
Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There's no interpretation needed, no explanation needed. The Lord said it. He introduced the Lord's Supper, the Pesach, and during the Pesach, he took bread and he was thanking and he gave it to them. One can read it in the three other Gospels. And then he stood up, he took off the garment and he girded himself and he poured water into the basin and he washed the disciples' feet. To us is nothing left, and we are doing it with joy. We are doing it with joy that together we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and then also we wash one another's feet. But connected with this, I have one request, that one the other, that one should not put the hands on his head, because this also should have happened. Laying on of hands happens only for the sick healing. Up to the sick they shall lay hands. Please, not laying your hands. Not laying your hands that you want to bless in a special way. No. Pray. It's good if you put your hands on the shoulder, yes. It's just enough. It's enough when we pray for one another. And when you say, Lord, bless the sister. Lead her, guide her, be with her. Just the prayer by which the fellowship is manifested, not in some kind of pious act and blessing, no, just washing one another's feet and praying for one another so that God leads our ways, so that we always walk in His ways. Whatever comes into your heart, this you can pray during the foot washing. You can ask from the Lord, and He will give it to you by His grace, and also to the brother and the sister. It's just important that in whatever we are doing, that we act biblically. Just washing the feet, there's no time left to lay on hands and the other way around. No, just with gratefulness, doing one another what the Lord has done in us and for us. And the word now from 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, we read today, not chapter 11, this we read many times, and time and again we will still read it, but today we are reading from 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, from verse 16, 1 Corinthians 10, from verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Yes, it is like this. Verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Yesterday we touched upon it briefly. Leviticus 23, Leviticus 25, how the sacrifices were brought. We spoke about the great day of atonement. The great day of atonement with the people of Israel was the most important day in all of the year. On the day of atonement, the trumpets were blown. The year of Jubilee was declared, and all could go out free. And in Luke chapter 4, our Lord read from the prophet Isaiah. Let me just read it briefly so that all know precisely what is written there. In Luke chapter 4, he will read from verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then, in verse 21, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Also, we are proclaiming the same gospel to all the captives that they are set free, to all the slaves that the Lord paid the price for them. No one needs to be enslaved by sin any longer, by bondages. The full gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is still today the same power of God as 2,000 years ago. And by grace, we want to experience it together. That God's Word, the same power, and the same gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, could have accomplished in us for what it was sent for. And because it is the gospel of the cross and of the crucified one who rose victoriously, therefore we can proclaim the victory of God over sin, over sickness, and over death, over everything. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please remember these words. In 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We are making one unity. We are making up one body. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. May He confirm His word, the full gospel, the full salvation, full perfect redemption. May He give it to us all and to all our friends and brothers and sisters who are listening, especially also our friends in Edmonton, Canada, and also in British Columbia, everywhere we are joined today with us in a special way all over the world. May God, by His grace, bless us here at this place and also wherever they are gathered and all who are connected. May He bless them. He, the Almighty God, He has given us a perfect redemption by His grace. Perfect justification. Perfect reconciliation. Full salvation. So, if something would still be there, let us forgive one another just as God has forgiven us in Christ. So that we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a worthy way. To our Lord and God be the honor and the praise throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up. And today we ask, during the breaking of bread, that the choir sings us a fitting song and that we all remain in prayer. Let us sing a chorus.
Oh, es ist Jesus.
Oh, it is Jesus. Brother Müller, Brother Graf, Brother Ziegler,
kommt bitte,
please come
nach vorne,
to the front to break the bread.
Bruder Fitus kommt auch.
Brother Fitus comes also.
Ja, komm.
Please come.
Amen, hallelujah, du hast es.
letzte Strophe und dann singen wir alle mit. Ja, ja.
Jesus, mein Heiland, dir sag ich Preis und Dank, o überwindender, Herr, meinen Lobgesang in deine Gnade, will ich mich nicht hinein in deinen teuren Blut, will ich gerecht und rein, er sei dem Lamm das Leben, da ist geschlagen, es ist vollbracht.
We ask Brother Didier to come and to pray with us. And then we will switch off the transmission, wishing all God's blessing with all our hearts. Then we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together and with the Lord.
Yes, my God.
Seigneur bien-aimé,
geliebter Herr,
dear Lord,
nous venons en ta présence pour te dire merci pour Golgotha.
Wir kommen in deine Gegenwart.
We are coming into your presence to say thanks for Calvary.
Tu es allé pour nous sauver la vie.
You went to redeem us. By the cross of Calvary, you accomplished everything. May your name be exalted. We died with our transgressions in your presence. But you, by your grace, you called us and you reconciled us with you. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins.
Jusqu'à ce que tu viennes.
Today we understood that you died and that you will return. May we all understand that we take the Lord's Supper for our blessing. May each one of us everyone walk before you in reverence. Beloved Lord, we want to experience of a truth the new birth. And we ask you once again, forgive us as we have forgiven those who have done wrong to us. Bless, O Lord, bless the bread, bless us all, and bless all who partake of it. And bless all your people, Lord. We are counting with you, Lord. And we believe that you have received us in your presence. Bless each one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.